What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Anna.
This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
And we have such a fun show today. Our guest is so fascinating. Tell him, Anna.
Okay, we are joined by a Next Up Fellow. We are joined by a scientist. We are joined by a cultural movie television critic. Yes. I was going to say cultural critic, but I also want to, you know, emphasize they know their movies and they know their television. We are joined by the one and only KB.
Woo! Yes, it's such a good combo. Y'all are going to love it. Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi.
Hi, Shireen.
This is Shireen. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. We have quite the show for you today. We have another one of my Next Up Fellows on today. I mean, we'll get into how we met and all that and how they found Next Up. But yes, this person has a show dropping on iHeart. Actually, by the time you hear this, the show should be out. So we'll get it all into it, but we are joined by a real scientist, okay? But they are also a movie and television critic who you can see at all the coolest events doing their thing, but we are joined by our Next Up Fellow, KB.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you guys.
Oh my God, yeah. The honor is all ours. You have such an interesting array of things that you do. I can't wait to learn all about them.
Thanks. I'm just a little nerd. That's it, really. And, you know, I guess I get paid for being nerdy. Maybe that's it.
I mean, that's the dream.
That is the dream.
Maybe that's it.
That is the dream. Let's start from the beginning. I want to know a little bit more about you. Where'd you grow up? Where were you born?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Houston. I moved to Atlanta for college at age 16.
Oh, wow.
And I stayed there for about 10 years, actually. I did my undergrad there and my graduate schooling there. And then I worked for a few years. And then I moved to New York. And New York was pretty pivotal, mostly just because I moved to New York to work for a major hospital there that I cannot name. But I moved to New York to work for a major hospital on some kind of transformative work that was happening in healthcare at the time. And I also was like, I love watching these wild TV shows. Let me just start writing about them. And so all of that happened when I moved to New York. And so I actually started off writing about this show that has since been canceled. But guys, last time I checked, it's still on Netflix, so you can watch it. It's called Beauty and the Beast, and I loved it. It was so good. And it's definitely not what you expect, and definitely not the Disney version, I should say. But yes, and I started writing for Just About Right, and I started doing recaps of that show. And from there, everything just kind of took off. I started podcasting, so doing strictly podcast interviews, actually, with talent. Like I took a break from writing just because I was doing so much in my day job. And so in the evenings, I was like, oh, podcasting is so lovely. Like I can reserve an hour of my time to talk to like, you know, different actors, different filmmakers, et cetera, about their art. And then I can just walk away because I also was not editing them. And we can get into that later. But, you know, Anna knows how terrible I am at editing and how it is truly like the weakest link for me. Mm-hmm. So I definitely was not editing at that time. And so it was just nice to be able to kind of do that. And from there, I ended up doing a lot of event coverage. And honestly, I started doing events because they worked with my day job schedule. Like working in healthcare, it was just easier for me to like do an event and take off work and just do the event and then go back to work. Like it was just so much easier on my schedule. But then I realized like I actually really enjoyed covering these events. So I actually met Joelle, the other co-founder of Next Up, just through an outlet that we both worked at the same time. And we became fast friends and sisters and family. And so she's actually the one who encouraged me to apply for the Next Up program because I told her about my idea for my show on Call with KB, but it wasn't called that at the time, but that's what it's called now. And so I just had this idea and I like ran it past her and she was like, oh my gosh, yes, that's like such a great idea. And honestly, like I just got so busy with life that I didn't really think about it again. And then the Next Step applications came out and she was like, okay, I think that you should apply with the idea that we talked about that is just kind of a hybrid of both of your careers. And I was like, okay, sure. And the rest is history.
Nice.
Yes. Wait, I have a question. You went to college at 16.
I did. Yeah, I'm 2 years ahead.
You really glossed over that.
That's cool.
I mean, honestly, it's kind of a fact that I forget.
Yeah.
Because I'm so much older now. So, like, it's just kind of one of those things that happened. I mean, honestly, I'm actually probably the oldest person on this podcast. So I definitely was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that did happen. Sure. But yeah, I'm 2 years ahead. And one is just because of when my birthday is. So like my mom was like, yeah, I don't want you to start school late. So I'm just going to start you early. And then the other thing is I skipped a grade. Like the school I went to, it was a new school. They had me take a test.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, you scored 100. Do you want to skip this grade? And so I just remember kind of having a conversation, you know, kind of with my mom. And she was like, you do realize this will mean like now you will be 2 years ahead until the end. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I was like, I would rather do that than be bored. So
yeah,
let's do it.
I heard that's a thing that would happen more often, like skipping grades. Like, I don't think that happens as often anymore. Like people don't do that.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like I don't hear about it as often. But back in the day, I remember people doing it.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. Like, I haven't heard in a while anyone say that, you know, they did it. And I mostly just did it because I knew I would be bored with the curriculum. So I was like,
yeah,
no thanks. Like, I don't want to repeat something that I already know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I totally understood at the time, you know, what it would have meant from like a socialization perspective. Like, I was always younger. And so, you know, when I got to high school, it became kind of a point of contention between me and my mom because I'd be like, I want to go to this party. And she's like, do you remember how old you are? And I'm like, I do, but also all of my friends are going. So yeah, like right. at some point you're just going to have to be like, yes, which she eventually did, but it was still kind of like, do you remember? And I was like, I definitely yeah. remember, but yeah.
It is weird to have like, I don't know, to think about a 12-year-old hanging out with like 14 and 15-year-olds, right? Like those, there's like, when you're younger, those couple of years can make a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really grateful. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't change it. I'm glad that I did it, but I know it's not for everyone, but I think that yeah. like, truthfully, like, I mean, I've been an old soul since birth, which I mm-hmm. kind of find that my parents also knew. Like, she said, like, I was not going out partying a ton. I was like, you know, doing it enough. But also I was kind of like, I could be at home in bed right now. Like, I had a nice balance of being like, you know what? I'm actually quite tired, so I don't want to do this. Or I'd be like, hey, my friends are going and like, you know, let's do it. So I think, you know, it depends on who the human being is and kind of like for where sure. they are from a maturity perspective. But it definitely, you know, has its upside. It has its downsides. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just got to navigate it with, I guess, your family unit really was kind of yeah. what I did. But
yeah, for sure. That makes sense. I'm curious, like, when you were growing up and, like, you're already ahead, do you find yourself, like, interested in stuff that was maybe, like, a little bit more mature or, like, you were already excited about, like, science or something at a young age? Like, what were you interested in as a kid?
Yeah. So I was interested in a host of things, honestly, as a child. And my mom was kind of the variety that she let me try anything if I said I was interested.
Nice.
So for me, it was kind of nice because I had the opportunity to be able to try a robust amount of things. But like, if I truly didn't like it, I knew I didn't like it because I had already tried it. Yeah. And it wasn't just like, oh, I think I don't like it. It was like, no, I firmly do not like this. So growing up, I did a lot of things. I did dance for a very long time. I was a cheerleader in high school. I did karate for a period of time. I played the clarinet 1 year, hated it. So that's how I found out. Was like, this is not for me. The violin is actually my favorite instrument. Tried that, also hated it. Was like, it sounds better, but, you know, playing this is not for me. And then in terms of academics, French. So I absolutely adored French. It was probably one of my favorite subjects. I really, really liked physics, but I wasn't good at it, which is so interesting that I still liked it because I yeah. was not good. But I still thought it was so intriguing. And I just loved that you could look at how the world moves through the eyes of physics. That was like really intriguing to me. And then I also really, really liked writing. So I used to write a ton of short stories and just like have a really vivid imagination and doing that for a very long time. So it was kind of organic that I would eventually come back to writing in the sense like when I moved to New York and kind of pick that up again because it was something that I adored so much. But from a very, very young age, I mean, I think maybe probably... I don't know. I had to be a toddler, maybe 3 or 4. I told my parents that I wanted to be a doctor.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So they had put, you know, kind of a lot of stock in that. They like took me, which again, I guess goes back to like the level of maturity I had from a young age. They were like, well, this is what she said. So, you know, like, okay. And so it was true. I had a doctor that I really, really adored. And I thought she was the coolest person. Like, I thought she was smart. I thought she was kind. She was the best physician. She was gorgeous. She was like literally everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be just like her when I grow up. And so my mom would laugh and she'd be like, okay, if this is what you want. So for a very long time, I really wanted to be a pediatrician. Mm. And I got to college and I was on track to go to medical school until one day I realized, oh, I don't actually want to treat patients. Like, I like the mm-hmm. part about helping patients, but I don't want to be liable for the yeah. patient, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So definitely.
I truly was like, oh, yeah, like, I love helping people in this way, but I absolutely like the amount of insurance that you have to have, that the hospital has to have for their providers in case that anything happens. I was like, oh, I kind of don't want that.
Yeah.
So I was able to, after, you know, graduate school and working a bit in biomedical engineering, I was able to find a route from biomedical engineering to the healthcare side to get back to the passion that I really had, which was helping people, but I just didn't have to treat the patients because ultimately that's all I really wanted anyway.
Yeah. I mean, my sister is a doctor and it's so frustrating because so much of it that you don't know going into being a doctor, like, is just politics and and paperwork about insurance and stuff. And it's just like a really big drag to really come to the realization that, like, I don't know. It's all about money and capitalism, obviously. It's not like a novel thing to learn, but I don't know. It's just kind of sad to me to remember that.
It's very sad. Yeah, it's not what you expect. And so I kind of wished that when I was kind of going through undergrad and ironically, like, you know, like my degree is in biology and my minor is in chemistry. And that was really forced because I'm actually not good at chemistry. Turns out I am good at physics. Just I wasn't good at high school physics, but I'm actually really good, you know, at advanced physics. But I am not good at chemistry, apparently, which was the opposite in high school. I was really good in high school chemistry. But in college, I was like, what is this? Like, my mind just doesn't work in that way. And it's funny because we often say, you know, if you are a biologist, then you're not good at chemistry. And if you're a chemist, then you're not very good at biology. And so I'm definitely truly a biologist at heart. But I wish that, you know, kind of the people who were guiding us in this program at the time, I don't know, I kind of wish in college, you know, there was a bit more one-on-one relationships with your counselors to be able to kind of go through and say, because it took a very long time for someone to be like, oh, girl, you still want to be in healthcare, but you just don't want to treat patients. Like, to get there, it took a very long time to get there. And so I'm like, maybe I would have, like, saved some coursework if I would have had this conversation sooner.
Yeah.
Huh. I never even thought of it that way. I'm just, like, bad at all science and math. So
I didn't even know
you could be good at one and bad at the other. I just assumed anyone who was, like, good at science was good at science, period.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm actually, and you know, like, general chemistry is fine, but like organic chemistry, absolutely not. Quite literally awful.
I don't even know the difference.
Oh, gosh. Whew, that's a long conversation, but it is, I can tell you that it is not my strength in any capacity. I'm a little bit better at biochemistry because of the biological aspects to it, but organic chemistry, oh my gosh.
My sister was the same, leaned towards bio, and like biochemistry was like her like preferred chemistry, I guess. And it's interesting to think about, though, like how our brains work, because I don't think my brain works at all. I was bad at everything. But yeah, I mean, that's another conversation. So you grow up and you always wanted to be a doctor, right? And then you change courses. Do you have a conversation with your parents about that at all? Or like, what's their input at that point?
I don't really remember having a in-depth conversation. Like, you know, it's interesting. I'd been on my own. I put that in quotes. I mean, because when you're in college, you're like, not really on your own because you're poor and you're struggling and your parents provide everything still. So I was not on my own. But I was living in a different state, right? So, like, I was living away on my own, I should say that. And so, you know, I had a lot of independence. And, you know, my mom always has been, like, uber supportive. And I am very grateful, especially the older that I get. There's something about being older, particularly, like, I'm in my late 30s. And so it's very interesting now to view your parents in a different lens. Like, I am just so appreciative for how she raised me, but I also understand very widely now the sacrifices that she made in order for me to have anything, you know, let alone kind of go to college in these two degrees. And so she's always been very proud of me for just pursuing what I want. And ultimately, she always wants, you know, me to be happy. So I think it is interesting, I think, now, because I don't know, this sounds weird, but I think she's more excited that I have this show than like anything that I've done in my life. She's like, yeah, but when does your show come out? Like, she's telling her friends, and I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess this is what is like most exciting for you. So she's like, she has a show on iHeart's coming out. Like, I feel like we just go to random places, and she's like, this is what's happening, and I'm like, Mom, relax. But so I don't think we had like too in-depth. I mean, we definitely talked about it because I was like, hey, girl, guess who doesn't have to pay for medical school now? We don't, you know, one of those things like we don't have to spend this money. But when I was like, hey, I'm not going to medical school, I was already in the process of applying for graduate school.
Yeah.
So that was like a little easier too. And my graduate school was free. And so it was really kind of like, hey, girl, I'm not doing this, but I am doing this free graduate program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what I'll be doing now. I'll still be working in healthcare, but it's just going to look a little different. So I think that just ultimately she was just proud of me, period. But yeah, she definitely was like, you always said you wanted to be a doctor. And I was like, I did. And then guess what? I realized I don't want to treat patients. So no. But it is funny because now she still thinks that, like, she's like, well, okay, you don't have to be a doctor. But she was like, maybe you'll get a doctorate. I was like, girl, no, the ship has sailed. I am not going back to school. Me and, you know, these 2 degrees that I guess just keep me warm in the winter will have to do. They'll have to manage because I will not be getting a doctorate unless someone gives me one for free, honorary. And maybe this show will do it. I don't know. Like, maybe, you know, if anyone's listening, make me.
Never say never.
I'm like, make me like Oprah. Give me an honorary doctorate.
Yeah. Anything is possible. Let's take our first break before we get any further. And we'll be right back. BRB. Don't go anywhere.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
And we're back with KB. I have a question. So, I mean, from a young age, did you realize you love to watch TV or movie? Were you just interested in movies and television? Or was it the fact that you kind of saw like a bit of a like healthcare or science angle to it? Like what originally drew you in?
No, I was deeply obsessed with TV and film as a child. Deeply. Okay. I watched everything that I could, that I was allowed to, but I mean, my first couple of favorite films were The Little Mermaid, The Wizard of Oz, which was oddly enough, kind of like a comfort film. Like I would always have to watch it with like a bag of marshmallows, like sitting in a specific chair and just being like, I would like to watch the Wizard of Oz today. So I always loved it. And you know, as I got older, I think my taste started to change because I would watch a lot of TV with my mom, with my grandparents when I would be, you know, visiting them in the summer.
Yeah.
Television was like a huge staple. And so I remember when the first season of ER came out, and I was actually, you know, fairly young. But my mom let me watch it. Oh, wow. I was really intrigued. I was like, yeah. Oh, I want to see this show. And she was like, girl, what? And I was like, yes. And I was like a faithful, you know, viewer. I loved it. I still love yours. Actually, it's actually where I got this idea. Like, it originated this idea for my show, to be quite honest, because it is still in my top five favorite TV series of all time. Like, I think it is brilliant. It's so well done. It was interesting. I just found myself constantly glued to the TV. And it was the perfect, I think, mix at that time of real drama. Like, the characters were so relatable, but also the cases were so interesting. And yeah. Everything, it was just such a high octane kind of medical show that I loved. So I always loved, you know, kind of seeing that medical lens. But I also really liked legal dramas too when I was younger, like very much so. I loved The Practice, which is also still in my top five because it is a fantastic series.
That's a great show. It's a great show.
Yeah, I loved it. And so, you know, I appreciate that. My mom was kind of like, I mean, I guess, girl, if you want to watch it, you know, sure. And she was like, do you even understand what's happening? And I was like, yes, like, you know, because I was young, but it was such a good show, a brilliant show as well. So yeah, I've always been really, really into television and film, and I'm not really quite sure where it started. I mean, I guess it was just on, and mm-hmm. so I don't know, you know, it was just something that we did together. And that everyone in my family did together. You know, we always kind of had our shows that we watched and the films that we watched. Mm-hmm. And then I remember very vividly too, I remember my friends and I had, we like begged our moms to let us go the opening weekend when the Selena movie came out. Cause I'm from Texas and I've always been a huge fan of Selena and Tejano music. Uh-huh. So, I mean, even when I was super young, so this was like, I remember watching like when she died live on TV. Like I remember being on TV. They were looking for Yolanda. I remember Yolanda being in the car, like watching this live on TV and then seeing it again kind of as a depiction in the film was wild. But I remember me and my friends being like, we have to see this in theaters. You have to take us. And, you know, kind of being in the movie theater, and because we had kind of lived it in real time and we were all watching it. I mean, it was like the biggest story that ever happened at that time. Remember being in the theater and we're like weeping, you know, like watching this movie weeping because we're like, oh no, she's really gone. But yeah, so I think I've always had an affinity for television and film. And I will say I do adore film, but television is still my heart, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's something about getting full character development over an extended period of time and episodes and watching them grow and struggle and suffer. I mean, it's literally why I still watch Grey's Anatomy right now.
Wow.
So that's why.
That's a long one. That's a long-held fandom.
I have this condition where I have to finish what I start. It's mm-hmm. wild.
Yeah.
I'm, like, trying to rid myself of it. But clearly that will not happen with Grey's Anatomy because I am all in.
I know.
What, I know. I mean, that's
when do you think
show.
Grey's will end? I mean, I just saw that article that said like Grey or Ellen Pompeo's taking less of like a role in the upcoming season or something.
She is doing other things creatively, which makes sense. I mean, she's been in this role for the majority of her career, right? Like everyone wants to be able to move on. And so as iconic as Dr. Christina Yang was on the show, right? Sandra Oh is like, I need to do other things.
Yeah.
And then she gave us like the incredible performance in Killing Eve. And you're like, yes. I mean, like, yeah. I get it. So I understand why Ellen is stepping back. But it's interesting because season 19, I guess now that this is airing, is currently airing. So season 19 is currently airing. And they're introducing a whole new slew of cast members.
Oh.
And so it makes me wonder if they're trying to pivot, you know, to like changing and shifting the direction of the show so that we don't get used to the idea of Meredith anymore, like being kind of the central figure.
Right.
And so they can kind of remove that and have additional seasons without her. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, where does it go if it's no longer Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah. I kind of wish it would end this season. Like, I think that that would be fine.
Yeah.
I think everyone would be okay.
I feel like it should end with Ellen, right? It should just wrap up. It's like her... She's the face of it. She hasn't had, like, any other job. Like, that's what she... She's an actor just for that show. It blows my mind. I mean, like, obviously in the beginnings, probably, like, the earlier times, she did a couple other things. But what a crazy role to just, like...
It is. And it's one that she will always be remembered for, right?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what else she does in her career, which I'm 100% a proponent of. Like, I definitely think she should do other things. But it will always come back to Meredith Grey, I find. Like, people will always remember her for it. And also, even when the show ends, you know, how we're seeing this resurgence of people discovering shows that they never watched before. Mm-hmm. At some point, that will be Grey's Anatomy for, like, a generation of people. And she will still be infamous. I mean, you know, they'll be like, ooh,
Ellen
Pompeo, Meredith Grey.
She's definitely made her mark, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
When did you realize you liked, because like critiquing movies is like, or just like critiquing film and TV, I feel like you have to watch it in a different way. When did that become something that you wanted, like that you were interested in? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that, you know, probably when I moved to New York and I started getting more opportunities to screen things earlier, I started to realize that, oh, okay, like I like this aspect of the film, but not this aspect. And I like what the director did here, but, you know, like the script was lacking here. It just was something I kind of found that naturally happened with my interests. Mm-hmm. I will still say, like, a part of this kind of TV and film criticism space, my favorite thing to do is still interview talent. Like, I'm not, it is still something that I hold very near and dear to my heart, because I can watch something all day, but I like to be able to dissect what I watch with the person who's involved. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know more about why certain choices were made for the characters and, you know, technically speaking, why this was made with the lighting, or like, why do we choose this set? You know, like I'm more interested in those types of things. And I don't know, maybe it speaks to the scientist in me. You know, scientists were kind of trained to look at everything through a certain lens. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to also, I think, bring a little bit of that to television and film, because I want to dissect every single thing to the core, but I want to be able to do it with someone who was involved and just find out more about them and why they made the choices that they made in this body of art.
Yeah. No, totally. I agree. I think those kinds of, that kind of knowledge is so much more interesting than like thinking about something's themes on your own or something like that. It's just like the creation behind something is so much a part of the actual thing. But do you remember if there was ever a moment like talking to any cast member or like anything like that, like the first time you were like, not even the word starstruck, but like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I will also say, though, I will preface it and say I was starstruck, like 100%.
I didn't want to say it. I wanted to give you the option of saying it or not.
Yes, I was 100% starstruck, but I think it was kind of like my show, the perfect fusion of my past and present and my careers kind of colliding. So I had this opportunity, and this was, I honestly can't tell you what year this was, maybe 5 years ago. I'm not entirely sure anymore. But Oprah had the HBO movie about Henrietta Lacks, which, as we know, like in the scientific community, I mean, they poorly mistreated her. But, you know, like a lot of the science that we have today is because of her. And so she was doing that project for HBO. And at the time, the publicist at HBO had an idea to have all Black women press cover this event for Henrietta Lacks, which was really unprecedented at the time. And it was amazing. And Oprah was like, yes, like, we have to do it. Let's do it. So it wasn't just Oprah. It was actually the entire cast. But we had a chance to just kind of sit with her for a very, it felt like forever, honestly. It felt like an hour. Mm-hmm. But to chat with her and to chat with everyone in the cast about the film, about everything behind it. And she is the nicest human being I've ever met. Like, it was so, I was just like, oh, not only am I, you know, like, talking to Oprah, but about a historical figure in the scientific community. Like, it was just one of those moments where I was like, oh, this is all tying together in my life. And I thought, oh, wow, I'm really grateful to be here in this moment. But she is just like an auntie. Like, honestly, she was just like an auntie. She did not know how to work her cell phone. Yeah. She was like, oh my gosh, y'all take photos of us.
I love that.
Oh, it's so lovely to meet each of you. And she wanted to chat with each of us individually. Like, she intentionally wanted to talk to all of us. So it was so kind of her and everyone else in the cast, like Courtney B. Vance and Rose Byrne, which I think that's how you pronounce her last name.
Yeah, I think it
name.
Is.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, Rose, if not. But or Rose Byrne? I'm sorry. I don't know. But she was lovely as well. Courtney B. Vance was, I mean, hilarious. Like, they just were such a good group. And especially for this being such a heavy, I mean, it was definitely a very, very heavy film that they had put out. Mm-hmm. But it was just such a great environment. And I was starstruck because it was like, Oprah, I mean, she's like the queen of journalism. Yeah. Like,
I was the queen of a lot of things. I mean,
right.
She's like every mom's, like, go-to, like, comfort show. You know what I mean? It's just, yes. She really, I mean, talking about leaving your mark, like, Oprah is like a titan at this point.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's glad to know it's not like an Ellen DeGeneres situation, like, where she's actually a bad person. I'm glad that Oprah is a very good person.
Oh, no. She is the kindest. And it was, you know, now that you mentioned it, it was kind of full circle in the sense that, you know, Oprah was playing Henrietta in the film. And Henrietta has, I guess, you know, is like really the first immortalized kind of human cell line with the HeLa cells. And so it was just like Oprah has kind of done that in from a journalism perspective, like right. cemented herself in a way that I don't even think she ever thought possible. I mean, it's obviously unfortunate because, you know, Henrietta passed away. But Oprah is doing it now and she's getting to see kind of what, I don't know, like how all of her hard work has paid off mm-hmm. and how it means to so many other people who have come behind her.
Right.
And so, I mean, she's just so kind. And it was just, I don't know, it was like an unreal moment. So yeah, I will say starstruck because honestly, I appreciate that you gave me the opportunity to say that because honestly, like I just view celebrities like I view everyone else except Oprah.
Yeah, exactly.
Except Oprah.
Yeah. That's why I was like trying to give you the option because like it's not like, especially, I mean, like we live in LA, Anna and I, and like, wait, where are you?
Oh, I'm in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. Right. You did say that. But I feel like in LA, especially the idea of like a celebrity or a star, like wears off pretty fast. Like even if you were like obsessed with someone, I think if you ended up seeing them eventually after living here for a couple years, you're like, oh, that's that person. Cool. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, obviously there are some people that I'd probably still be starstruck about. I can't anticipate how I would react if I like saw Keanu Reeves one day. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. I would melt.
I know.
I would die.
That's a great example.
Right?
I would literally die because he seems like the sweetest person.
Right.
I think it's the sweet people that we're like starstruck by.
Yes.
That you just know that they have the kindest spirits. You're like, oh my gosh, yes. Because everyone else, I'm like, we're all just human beings trying to make it. I get it. But like, there are people like Keanu where you're like, he was raised right. Like,
he like makes you feel good. Like, there's like a warmness that he makes people feel. Like, that's a superpower. Like, who is like,
there's
he's
also
just a,
so much lore around him just being a regular person that it's almost like, you're just fascinated by him.
Yeah.
He's just like walking around.
Yes. And that's what the thing is like being in New York, I was so upset that I was never just catch him on the subway one day.
Yeah.
Because he was like always just riding on the subway. And I'm like, where is the day?
So many photos of him in like a beanie and just like chilling somewhere. It's so funny.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, where is the day that I just run into Keanu, you know, on the 3 train? I mean, like, what is happening? and it would never happen. But I'm not going to say never, because there's still an opportunity for me to run into Keanu.
And there is.
I'm waiting for it.
We all have the opportunity, you know, it'll happen to any of us. It's like you've been like blessed by an angel. It could happen to any of us.
I think now the three of us just should make a pact that we will
find Keanu.
It's like,
and ring each other immediately. Like, get here now. You have to see this.
Get on the plane now.
Yeah. Buy your ticket.
Keanu, hold yourself here for 3 hours because someone's coming to meet you.
Exactly.
It just has to be like this. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just about to say, I did misspoke. It actually, Oprah did not play Henrietta. She played her daughter, or Deborah. She played Deborah in the film. So sorry, I did want to clarify that. But
no, good correction.
Yeah.
But like, to loop back to the idea of being starstruck, especially if you're interviewing people, it's so good to like not always be so impressed with someone that you put them on a pedestal. You can talk to them like a human being, you know, like, I think that is so much more refreshing coming from their side too, to have someone that just like asks them normal questions and treats them like they're normal people. So I think like your approach is probably, it probably makes them feel really comfortable, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, listen, we're all just human beings. I also tried to explain this to my family, because they're always like, oh, you meet cool people. I'm like, yeah, they're cool. But like, honestly, we're all just kind of like, we're both freelancers. I freelance.
Yeah, right.
We're freelancers.
Right. Yeah.
That's like, a good point. I never thought of it that way.
And so it's funny because I actually just recently had this conversation with an actor and they were like, thank you. Finally, someone understands that like, we do not have an ever flowing flow of money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, they were like, we're freelancers. I was like, yes,
that's true.
I get it.
They're contractors. Yeah. Literally, they're working contract by contract.
Exactly.
Yes. And sometimes you don't get one for a very long time, or sometimes you get one, you know, immediately. And so I was like, you know, there are a lot of ups and downs. So again, we're all just human beings trying to make it.
Yeah.
I think we're just trying to do the best we can, most of us.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. I have a question. Do you ever like talk to, when you're doing interviews, do you ever like bring up your, you know, day job at all? Or do you just always try and keep it pretty low key?
Never. No. Yeah. I keep every question about the art and kind of what's happening at that time.
Yeah.
Just cause it's easier, but also for me, from just a working perspective, I like to keep that separate because I don't want any attention, like with my employer, you know, it's a very different, the work that I do is very different, and I kind of, you know, kind of value the people that I work with. And, you know, if I do get to have direct like patient interaction, I like to kind of keep that to myself, and it's a very separate role. So truthfully, this is the first time, like my show is the first time that I'm kind of providing it. And even still
together.
Yeah. But even still, I have not told like, you know, like my healthcare colleagues that I have the show, I have not told them. I'm actually going to see if they just like happen to listen to it and then kind of like, have you heard about this show?
You know, this sounds just like you. That's so strange.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, who is this doppelganger? Like, what?
You have got to hear this girl's voice. She literally sounds like you. And you're like, oh my God, that's so crazy.
I'm like, is it my evil twin sister? What? No.
That is interesting how you kind of keep those two worlds separate. Like, you have your career and then you have your like interests and hobbies that you found a way to turn into like a mini career, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I just also found if I'd like to stay employed in healthcare, I probably shouldn't mix the two.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anyone to see it as a potential liability, you know, like, oh, like, you know, anything that's being done or anything. Like, I like to keep them separate, which, I mean, I guess is a lesson in entertainment as well, because the amount of NDAs and confidentiality clauses, I guess I've learned on from both sides. It's how to just keep them separate, because you can never talk about anything. Like, I can't talk about anything at, you know, my day job. Can't talk about anything in entertainment. Everything is always like so silent. So it's very much like, I guess I've learned how to just keep everything under wraps.
Totally.
Yeah. Let's take our second break and then come back. And I want to talk about your show a little.
Yes.
All right. BRB.
Thank you.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
All right, we are back with KB. Let's talk about On Call with KB.
Yes, please.
I think he'll be out by the time this episode drops. We planned it so this episode will drop around the same time that your show drops. But yeah, when does your show drop? And tell us a little about it.
Thanks. So show drops Thursdays, every Thursday, starting October 6th.
Okay, so
and On Call with KB is just what I wanted to do. It's like a love letter, I guess, maybe to like my inner child who loved ER and who loved science, and you know, the inner child that became the adult who still loves the same things, who loves science and loves television and film. And so I was like, how can I create a fusion of this? And I was like, it's interesting because I watch all of these medical dramas, and to be quite honest, I do watch like almost all of them. I mean, there are like very few that I don't watch. But to be fair, I'm the same with legal dramas, because I'm also like, please, except for SVU. I had to give SVU up. I was like, I can't do it. But I definitely was like, everyone is constantly like, is this real? Like, is this medically or scientifically accurate? Like, what are these wild episodes? Because now I do find that Grey's Anatomy was a pioneer in the sense that they started doing these medical cases that were so outlandish that people were like, okay, is this possible? Like, I felt like ER kind of gave us, you know, the realistic cases, like, you know, this man has appendicitis and he needs emergency surgery. You know, like it was still intriguing, but it was still also, you know, like very realistic. You know, it's going to happen, a bit more realistic. And I think too, maybe a lot of that had to do with like special effects, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're probably like, we can only do so much. So like, let's keep it, you know, here.
Right.
But with Grey's, as technology improved, you know, they're having bombs in body cavities. They're having a woman who is having nonstop orgasms. You know, they're having like a woman with toxic blood. They're having a man with a fish in his penis. You know, like they're doing things that you're like,
yikes,
what is going on?
Yeah.
And so that is why Grey's Anatomy is my first season. Right. Because they have the craziest episodes that we can dive into. And I really wanted to bring along some guests. So my show consists of a super fan segment. So the super fan is really just me and some dear super fan friends of mine, and we get to talk about all of the water cooler moments because, you know, while Grace has a lot of wild and crazy medical and scientific things happening and groundbreaking things that are happening, because they do often mirror things that are happening in the real world, they also just have crazy relationship drama, right? Like, people are watching Grace because they were like, Meredith and Derek. And they were like, no, Derek is married. Oh, my gosh. What happened to McDreamy? Oh, he died. What? Right. You know?
I know.
So it's all of that. So I had to bring the super fans on so we could dive into that. And then I also bring on experts to my show. So my experts consist of either, you know, like medical experts, doctors, scientists, medical consultants for the show, or creative experts. So, you know, directors, writers, people who have, you know, heavily been involved on the show. So that way we can dive into the specifics of like a groundbreaking medical case. So it's been super fun. I've been really grateful to the guests that I have. I mean, my first episode has Dr. Hope, who is a surgeon, still practicing, still currently. Like, I was talking to her the other week and she was like, oh, I have to go to surgery, but, you know, like, I'm
incredible.
I'll hit you back.
Damn.
But she was a medical consultant on Grey's Anatomy. And so it's very interesting to hear about her experiences behind the scenes and how they prepped for it. And even how, you know, she used, obviously blinded, how they use certain, you know, medical cases from their own experience and maybe not recent medical cases, but like, maybe cases when they were in medical school or in residency that they could pull from that are, you know, kind of like wild and crazy. So she was incredible, incredible, incredible to talk to. And so through the course of the season, I also talked to Julie Ann Robinson. So shout out to Anna. She connected us. But nice. Julie Ann is an acclaimed director, and she has worked on a ton of Shondaland projects, including Grey's Anatomy. So she is on this season to chat about Grey's as well. And Julianne actually has some really interesting personal healthcare stories. So Julianne has directed a lot of different medical shows, not just Grey's. So I consider her a medical directing expert. So
I know. She's done them all, like including that one, the British show that ER was based off of, which was...
Yes. I don't know.
Is it called Casualty or something like that?
Really?
I forget.
I believe it is. Because she wants me to watch it. And I said, absolutely. I now have to find it because I'm not entirely sure where I can watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, absolutely. She's like, oh, yeah, if you like ER. And I'm like, yes. So, you know, I consider her a medical directing expert. And she, from working on this show, or on these shows, rather, shared how they empowered her in her own personal life when it comes to like certain healthcare things that she had as well. Because, you know, you think that you may not learn that much from directing, but that's not true. You learn a ton. And especially when it comes to vernacular, and then you have access to like, you know, the medical consultants on the show, like they have a team of medical professionals who work on the show. So it's interesting to have that, you know, breadth of knowledge and perspective. But yeah, so Julianne shares a lot of personal stories too. And so just over the course of the season, that's what you'll hear. You know, you'll hear more of these types of professionals in these conversations, but we do dive into wild cases. Woman with toxic blood.
Right.
The bomb in the body cavity. You know, like all types of things.
A classic, yes. The bomb in the body cavity. It's pretty wild.
I mean, honestly, the cases that I, you know, researched going into that particular episode, they're all military cases. So it is very interesting, kind of the information that you find on like, has this actually happened before? Yes, not as much as you think, but it has happened. And right. Oddly enough, a lot of those patients survived. Like, it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these shows, I generally, when I would watch Grey's, I'd always be like, yeah, right. But I haven't really thought about it until we started working on your show and you would like bring up these sorts of things and be like, they are based on something. And I would be like, oh, I was so like cavalier in my nice try, Shonda. Right. You know, like, I get it. It's dramatic. But then actually working on your show has made me be like, oh, it's all, you know, it doesn't, you know, someone's not just like, and like that, we have the most absurd medical thing you've ever heard. Like, stuff comes from places.
Yeah. And they work hard. They work hard to get it. Yeah. I mean, you know, they like are actually intentional about making sure that they can back up some of the crazy things that are happening on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do want to give special mention to my cardiologist, Dr. Dan, who you yes. interview.
Wait, really?
Yes. A true character.
Yes. So funny.
Shout out to Dr. Dan. Dr. Dan's actually hilarious. Yeah. Just in
He was kind of perfect for your show. Because he's such a character already, and he's a cardiologist, and he was interested in podcasting. So I was like, you should meet KB.
What was that convo like with your cardiologist?
Nothing. He was like, the first time I went, he was like, you work in podcasting? You should take my card. And I was like, oh, my God. Okay. I literally was like, I'm here because I'm stressed out from work, and people are, my doctor is concerned, and I should see a cardiologist. And he's like, yeah, that's great. Let's talk about your work. And I was like, oh, God, Dr. Dan, this is why I'm here. Because of too so much funny. Stress. But he's genuinely such a character. I just enjoy him. Like, it didn't bother me at all that all he did actually in the end was want to talk about work, to a point where one of his like nurses came in and were like, you have other patients. Like, you need to leave this room and go see your other patients. And he was like, all right, but take my card.
That's and I was, so funny.
Which actually worked out because I had to get all these like tests done. And there was like a waiting list, and he low key was like, I'll get you.
Oh, we're hell cool. Yeah.
And I was like, thanks, Dr. Nan. You're the best. I'll get you on some podcasts.
So he did help you in the end. It wasn't just like,
I mean, Dr. Nan's great. Like, I have to go see him every year. You know, like, he's a lovely guy, and I'm glad we got to find him a show that he would actually, you know, be really great on, which was KB's show. It worked out perfectly. If anyone needs a cardiologist.
Yes. Yeah, I was about to say, Dr. Dan actually, like, he like runs cardiology.
Yeah,
so he is like a huge deal. And his story is so interesting. Like, we got to talk about how he got into medicine, and he has a very, very interesting story. And why he does it, it's honestly just for the patients. And so he is such an entertaining person, but he also has like the biggest heart. So it's just, he was perfect. So yes, thank you so much, truly, because he is iconic. So, yes.
Yeah.
Great cardiologist, great podcast guest, Dr. Dan.
I mean, great. Two talents are good to have. Those are, that's really
exciting.
Also kind
of similar to you, KB. Great scientist, great podcast host.
Nice.
Ooh, thank you. This is why Dr. Dan and I bond. Yeah. Dr. Dan and I, and then Dr. Dan's wife. She's equally as lovely. So.
Yes. His wife got on it too?
She is not on the show, but she is lovely because I did get to talk to her. So like we could get everything set up. She actually works in production. So it made sense for her to like be in the back end kind of helping because she works in TV and film production. So it was so lovely. But they are really a good couple.
I love that.
And they
that.
Balance each other. So yes.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. She helps keep Dr. Dan, you know. Into because you know he's so fun. Sometimes you got to reel him in, you know. Just like his nurses were like, "Hey, you really got to actually do your real job instead of trying to network right now."
They were like, "Reel in the networking. We have 40 more patients waiting,
all who actually do need to see their cardiologist." Because I was the youngest person there by like 40 years, you know. They were like, she seems fine at this point.
Yeah.
She'll be okay. Go see the actual patients who might have, you know, need more pressing time, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta love them.
So this first season is going to focus on Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. Yes. And
do you have plans for future seasons already, or what's going on in your head?
I do. When I pitched this to Anna and Joelle, I actually want to do a different show every season. I mean, there's so many different medical dramas. I felt like, let's just go all the way and let's just do some other dynamic shows. So ER will be on there. It has to be. I love it. But, you know, iconic shows like House, The Resident, you know, there's so much Chicago Med.
Scrubs.
Scrubs. Yeah. Yes, because I have already been thinking about a little crossover on the podcast.
Yep.
Yes. Nice. Yes. So for Real Friends, Fake Doctors, shout out again to Joelle. So yeah, there are a lot of different shows that I want to cover. But yeah, when I pitched it, I thought, you know, every season, let's switch it up. But it has been fun creating this show because honestly, everyone keeps being like, and when will you go back to Grey's? Because there are 19 seasons. I'm like, yeah. Okay, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think exploring other shows would be really interesting, though, because every show probably does something so different, so all the things so differently. You know what I mean? Like, their approach to stuff is probably different. Like, Scrubs is straight up comedy. You know, it's not like there's dramatic elements like House. So I'm sure they approached stuff differently than House did. But then Scrubs is also co-created by like an actual doctor, so there's that element. So there's a bunch of things that make all of these productions really unique. So that's exciting. I'm excited to hear all of it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. And House 2 was also wild.
Wild. I just can't even put into words how crazy that show is. Like the drug addictions and the lupus in every other episode. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. You guys are a lovely duo.
Oh,
and this was a fun conversation. So thank you so much.
Of course.
Where can people catch On Call with KB? It's out now. First episode should be out. And also, where can people follow you and your work?
Yeah. So On Call with KB, listen to it. Available on iHeart. New episodes drop on Thursdays.
Yes.
And I did that strategically just because the season premiere, season 19 premiere of Grey's Anatomy was also October 6th, which is why I picked October 6th to be my premiere
Hell
date.
Yeah.
So watch that premiere and then come on over and listen, you know, to On Call with KB. But so listen wherever you get your podcasts. But it is on iHeart and it is available on Apple. I don't know what other people use because I only
Spotify.
Have Spotify. I'm like, I only have an iPhone, so I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm in the Apple cult. But yes, Spotify and wherever you listen to your podcast, it's available there. And for me, you can find me on social, just Instagram and Twitter only at The Lady KB. That's TheLadyKayb. And you can find me there. And I post when we have new episodes. I post all about On Call with KB and, you know, some of the additional work that I do.
Nice. That's awesome. You're such an interesting, well-rounded person. I'm so excited to see where iHeart takes you in that exploration, you know?
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. I just, you know, again, I guess I just get to, you know, live my nerdy dreams.
The ideal. The ideal.
It is ideal.
But thank you so much again. I'm going to wrap us out of here. It's Ethnically Amb, AMB on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, AMBIG on Instagram. I am Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter and at Selling Hosnier on Instagram.
Yeah. And until next time, go catch up on KB show. The first episode's already out. So do
Hop
your job.
To it.
Hop to it.
Is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you.
Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.